Hey, this is Pastor Spencer with Racine Bible Church. You're listening to a sermon from a Sunday morning.
This is a very, very special morning for us, and this is a special sermon. This is special because it's a shorter sermon. Please hold your applause. We took the time to lay hands on this dear couple and for our elders to pray for them and for John to explain missions. And so we are happy to dedicate those moments of this worship service to that important event. And it's a family service. The room is full because we got full families in here as we give our crosswalk ministry the morning off for some training and some relationship building. And it's a special sermon because it's a commissioning sermon. And the way a commissioning sermon works is that a certain member, in this case, one little family from the church, is being commissioned for ministry. And in a sense, the sermon is preached to them. But by design, the sermon is preached on the Lord's Day in the assembly of the saints because every single one of the saints can benefit from the commissioning that this individual family is receiving. And that's true because anytime the word is preached, there are a myriad of ways that a multitude of people can benefit from the preaching of the word. If this morning we were commissioning our deacons or our elders, and I had them all sit in a certain part, and I was preaching directly to our deacons and elders about the deacon qualifications and the elder qualifications, in a sense, the sermon would be to them. But of course, in the assembly, every person here would benefit from an explanation of the deacon qualifications and the elder qualifications from the New Testament because, well, every man in the congregation would find out what it is God says is a good man and what they should aspire to. And every woman in the congregation would hear that to see what a good man is and what they ought to aspire to. Every grandpa, every grandma, every mom, every dad would see what character, virtues, and spiritual gifts they ought to be praying for in the lives of their sons. Every single person who wasn't called to marriage or to bearing children would hear and understand God's good design for the church, which has 1,000 benefits of understanding that lifelong. And this morning's commissioning service is to a family that's been called into missions, specifically the kind of missions where they find a place where nobody knows the gospel story yet, and they get to go and tell them that story, making the long-term investment of learning their culture and learning their language. This is a wonderful privilege. But what are, as I preach to Adam and Kimberly, what are some of the ways that everyone assembled here could benefit? Well, let's name the biggest and obvious one first. Perhaps, not just perhaps, I hope, I pray, that there's a 9-year-old here, an 11-year-old here, who will be called into this same kind of missions work. What a blessing. I know that there are many adults in this room who are being called to give more generously. And by that, I mean more money. There are many here who are being called to support and pray more faithfully. And if the mission is evangelism, then I also know that there are many here who are not being called necessarily to Papua New Guinea, but you work at Educators Credit Union, or at SCJ, or at J.I. Case, or Walmart, or wherever it is that you work, and you are called to demonstrate the gospel by your deeds and to declare the gospel by your words. And so we'll keep it simple this morning and focus on the mission of the church with two words, worship and witness, and we'll trace these through several of the beautiful psalms that the Holy Spirit has given to us. But as we prepare to open God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift to you this prayer asking you to use your word to change our will. Lord, for me, your blood was spilled. Lead me, guide me in your will. This my prayer and this alone. Savior, let your will be done. All that is opposed to you, however dear it be, Savior, I yield it all to you. Take it all from me. from my heart the idol tear. You shall have no rival there. You, my hope, my joy alone. Savior, let your will be done. Amen. The mission of the church, described in two words, is worship and witness. The mission of the church, described in two directions, is worship upward and witness outward. And we see this over and over in these beautiful psalms that the Lord has given to us. Open to Psalm 34. If you haven't opened your Bible since last Sunday, that's where your Bible is bookmarked to, because that was where we were last Sunday. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There's worship. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Here we go. Let the humble hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 1, worship. Verse 3, witness. I want other people to hear and to know who God is and why God ought to be worshiped. This is exactly what Adam and Kimberly are saying to the world. In their case, not only to the entire world in their prayer life, but to a little patch of soil on the planet that God is calling them to, one of these small islands, Papua New Guinea, that they want to tell the inhabitants of that place, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Worship and witness. And as the worship is true, then the witness is sincere and heartfelt and so inviting. The upward pinnacle of the worship, verse 1, is expressed in this desire in verse 3, like, God is so good that I want others to get in on his goodness. That's how verse 1 leads to verse 3, how worship leads to witness. Turn ahead to Psalm 66. Psalm 66, verses 1 through 4. The first word of verse 1, shout. The first word of verse 2, sing. The first word of verse 3, say. And the first word of verse 4, or the first three words, all the earth. Worship and witness. Verse 1. Psalm 66, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. You see it? Verses 1, 2, and 3. Awesome worship, uplifting worship, and then verse 3, contagious worship, that we want all the earth to join in on that worship. The pinnacle of worship is not just that it keeps going upward, but that it's so contagious that it spreads outward. Another way of saying this is that if you love something, you naturally tell others about what you love. And so the application is obvious. Adam and Kimberly, perhaps the most important thing you can do is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm not knocking all the 28,000 things that the mission school has trained you in how to do missions, but the most important thing you can do is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then when we really love someone, we can't help but talk about them. We can't help but tell others how sweet they are, how good they are. Joy is incomplete until it is shared. I don't know who said that, maybe C.S. Lewis. Joy is incomplete until it is shared. In his reflections on the Psalms, C.S. Lewis writes not just about the Psalms, but about every song that has become famous in the history of the world. And he pretty much says, isn't every song that captures our hearts a variation on the theme, isn't she lovely? Or isn't he good? Wasn't that wonderful? Joy is incomplete until it's shared. Why do you think the Psalms are put to music? Why do you think the Psalms, you see that verse 1? Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Why are the Psalms forever saying, turn up the volume, get louder, get louder? Why is that? Well, it's not because God has a problem hearing us because heaven is so far away. I think the reason is because when you're making a joyful noise, the more joy, the more noise. And when you're really worshiping God, the greater is your compassion and your passion to bring others in with you, because joy is incomplete until it is shared. In fact, you could do the math on it. Even though I'm not a math person, I have figured out this math. When I share my joy isn't subtracted from, my joy is added to. The joy of worship is something that when you take the time to quote unquote sacrifice and share that with others, your own joy and your own worship is multiplied exponentially. It isn't divided and to become smaller. This is why we want the church to grow. This is why we're happy to give 20% or more of our annual budget to missions, for exactly this reason. Psalm 67, worship and witness. You see it over and over in the Psalms. Psalm 67, verses 1 through 3. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah. That your way may be known on earth. There's witness. Your saving power among all nations. There's witness. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. We sang that chorus earlier in our service. That's Psalm 67, verses 1 through 3. You see how verse 1 says, may God be gracious to us? And you see how verse 2 says, God's saving power? May I remind everyone here, and perhaps there's someone here who's a little confused about the Christian gospel. We worship God because he created the earth and the oceans and the zebras and the giraffes and us. And so we owe him our worship. But the reason our worship for God is just from the bottom of our toes to the tips of our hair is because not only has God created us, but God has given us the grace of salvation. You see, we sinned. And even though God gave us good gifts, we use those gifts to sin and rebel against him. But the wonder of the gospel is that God didn't leave us in our sin, but in his grace, he saved us. See, it says in verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us. Why do we want God to be gracious to us? Verse 2, so that we can be saved, but also verse 2, so that God's saving power can go around to all the nations. We receive mercy and we want to share that mercy with others. This is the connection between verse 1 and verse 2, is worship for salvation and then witness to others about the salvation that we have received. You see it so clearly in the Psalms. Maybe the last one we'll turn to is Psalm 96. Psalm 96. If you look at Psalm 96, there's the word salvation in verse 2. The word salvation is in verse 2. And the word judgment or judge is in verse 13. Salvation and judgment. Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He'll judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. You see salvation in verse 2. You see judgment in verse 13. Our proper biblical theology of salvation and judgment, our proper biblical theology of salvation and judgment undergirds and informs and shapes our proper methodology of missions and evangelism. This is our priority. After all, if our theology was, we're all basically good, people are good, then church would be a social club to gather good people and sort of be good together. But we don't believe that. If our basic theology was that poverty is the greatest threat in the world, then the highest priority of the church would be just to send money everywhere. We believe that poverty is a problem, but we don't believe it's the biggest problem in the world. That's not our theology. If we believe that people's biggest problem was they need therapy and they need their self-esteem boosted, then we'd go a different way in our teaching and in our counseling, but we don't believe that. We believe that God is good and holy, and that people are fallen and have been separated from God by their sin, but that God has made a way for his judgment to be avoided by judging the Son of God on the cross in the sinner's place. This is what we believe, and this is the gospel that we bring forward. We worship God for this gospel, and we witness to others about this gospel. So, the commission for the Markowski family, with all the assembled saints listening in, the commission to you is of worship and witness. Worship comes first. And the commission is of sharing the gospel with others, depending on the gospel yourself, comes first. It has to. It has to. Because you're being sent out, there are risks and difficulties in where you're going, so you have to trust the one who is sending you. That's why worship comes first. What this means is that Adam and Kimberly are Christians first and missionaries second. What this means is that anyone who's called to work for God, first you are loved by God, and then you're called to share that love with others. Because the love of God is beating in your heart, that's what comes out of your lips, which is summarized in the little saying that Adam and Kimberly, I never want you to forget. First, God works in you, and then God works through you. First in, then through. First, the word of God is at work in you, and then the word of God is shared through you. There's a little love. One of my heroes, Adam, I think maybe he's one of your heroes through. One of my heroes is Robert Murray McShane, and he wrote this, I think when he was 22 years old. He wrote in his journal, I have come to know that there are two things it is impossible to desire with sufficient ardor. I love that old Scottish word, ardor. It means passion, zeal, oomph. He wrote, I have come to know there are two things it is impossible to desire with sufficient ardor. My own personal holiness and the honor of Christ Jesus in the salvation of many more souls. My own personal holiness and the honor of Christ Jesus in the salvation of many more souls. And that's our prayer for you, is that your hearts and souls and spirits would be filled with sufficient ardor to desire your own holiness in personal worship, and then to desire the honor of God in sacrificial and joyous ministry. And church, that's the same for all of you, isn't it? It really is as simple as this. We make worshiping and we make witnessing especially far more difficult and far more intimidating than it ever ought to be. First in and then through. So church, it really is as simple and as direct as this. Tuesday morning, get up a little early and listen to a sermon on your iPad or on your tape deck, however you listen to sermons. Get up and listen to a sermon on Tuesday morning. First in, then through. And then, when that sermon's done, then you pray. God, you've spoken your word to me through this sermon. Would you give me a chance today to share this with somebody else? And then you watch that on that Tuesday, maybe even before lunch, there will be an open door through conversation for you to share something that worked in your heart than to share that with somebody else. It really is that simple. Read the word of God in the morning. Set aside 15 minutes and read a chapter from the Old Testament and a chapter from the New Testament. Just 15 minutes, 20 minutes, set that aside and do that. And then as you go through both of those chapters, find one or two verses from those chapters that mean a lot to you, and then write it down, keep it in your pocket. And as you put it in your pocket before your day begins or as your day begins, then this is your prayer. God, you've put that word in me. Now, today, give me an opportunity to share that word with somebody else. And it'll amaze you how God answers that prayer, first in and then through. If you remember that, it makes your ministry authentic and not acting because it's first in and then through. If you remember that, it makes your mission of witnessing genuine and not hypocritical. In other words, it doesn't come off like a phony sales job because it's actually inside of you and you share that with others. That's natural for everybody. We talk about what we love. Little Timmy sitting back there in that section, if you talk to him, he will tell you about Paw Patrol because he loves it. Our friend Lorraine sitting in the back in that section, if you bump into her, she will fumble with her phone to show you pictures of her grandkids because she loves them. We talk about what we love. First in, then through. First worship, then witness. Because we talk about what we love, and there is nothing greater than the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the commission for the Markowski family and the mission of Racine Bible Church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for saving us. We worship you for the glory of your great name. And we ask for your blessing upon this word as it's delivered to the Markowski family and as it is delivered to the Racine Bible Church family. Help us to worship sincerely from the heart so that our witness is likewise authentic and genuine, for the mouth speaks out of that love which fills the heart. Do this, Lord Jesus, that you may be glorified in all things in your church. Amen.
To find out more about our ministry, contact us at racinebible.org. Thank you for listening.